This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
G'day, my name is André Jansen van Vieren. I'm the managing editor of Mining Max, and it's time for Metal Heads. Now, today we're talking jobs and growth. Yesterday, South Africa's Economic Development Minister, Ibrahim Tatel, released the country's economic growth path strategy. And at the core of this strategy is the creation of jobs. The overall target that the document aspire to is the creation of 5 million jobs in all sectors by 2020. The mining sector also features strongly in this plan and has been earmarked to contribute around 200,000 jobs to the overall plan. The document specifically lists the main changes that are needed to generate the new additional mining jobs as an acceleration of the exploitation of South Africa's minerals and metal reserves through measures to encourage beneficiation. Now, with us on the line to give us his view on the economic growth path document and specifically the focus on mining is Chamber of Mines economist Roger Baxter. Roger, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Hi, André.
Roger, the theme for the industry in recent years has rather been job losses than the other way around. Can you give us your impression of how Patel envisages to turn the situation around?
Well, I think the new growth path that Minister Patel has put forward yesterday obviously has been developed over the course mostly of the last 6 months, with inputs from a wide range of different government departments, etc. And we must just reflect that South Africa's mining sector has been through a very thorough review process of the mining sector itself, with the tripartite stakeholders led by the Department of Mineral Resources, by the very capable minister and DG, and involving the senior teams from the Chamber of Mines, from the mining sector side, from the business side itself, from National Union of Mine Workers, from UASA, Solidarity, etc., in this process called the MIGDET process, the Mining Industry Growth Development and Employment Task Team, where we've been looking at understanding why South Africa's mining sector has not grown or taken advantage of the last commodities boom, why the industry hasn't made enough progress on the transformation front, and really unpacking what the competitiveness issues are. And what's been fascinating about the process is we've also done a huge amount of work looking at what the real economic potential of the South African mining sector is, realizing that South Africa's mining sector is not a sunset industry, but rather a sunrise industry. And it's that growth potential which I think has not only elevated back mining back into the top five priority sectors of government, but it's also fed through into this in this growth path document in recognition that the whole minerals complex, including driven by mining and obviously the downstream beneficiation chains, about what can be created if we unblock the infrastructure constraints, get the regulatory framework right, develop our human capital properly, get a more stable and competitive exchange rate, et cetera, et cetera. These were findings that came out of the MIGDET process, and I think there's a large degree of resonance in the new economic growth path.
Roger, you specifically mentioned about what needs to happen.
Yes.
And unpacking for mining to sort of like give it a full economic potential.
Yes.
And what's the main things that needs to be put into place and needs to happen for mining to start delivering on this potential?
Well, André, before we get onto the actual specific factors, I think it's just worthwhile noting that in the work that we did in the MIGDET process, in the MIGDET competitiveness task team, what we came to the conclusion was that in a relatively conservative, unconstrained environment, so in other words, there weren't two significant infrastructure constraints, two significant regulatory constraints, that we had sufficient people that were necessary to get the industry going, et cetera, that the non-gold mining sector could grow at between 3.5% and 4% per year, the total mining sector by about 3.5% per year over the next 10 years, and roughly another 100,000 jobs were possible in a conservative growth scenario. So that's not recognizing an absolute optimal case. It's recognizing in a conservative growth scenario that's what could happen given the fact that in the last decade the industry actually shrank by 0.6% per year from a GDP perspective. Now, when we got into the detail and the nitty-gritty of what the constraints are affecting the sector, I mean, clearly infrastructure is a major one. And infrastructure is, you know, I think it's a little bit disconcerting when people keep on going on about the role of the state, and the state has to drive infrastructure development, et cetera. In fact, there's a lot of very positive solutions on infrastructure, which the private sector can play a very key role in, because in many of these instances, the private sector has the capability, wants to invest, to obviously unblock these constraints. And so this is a very big area, whether we're dealing with electricity supply provision, or whether we're dealing with rail service provision, et cetera, et cetera. If one takes it into some of the other key areas, if we look at infrastructure, obviously you're looking at electricity, rail, ports, road networks, water infrastructure, and clearly the biggest one at the moment, obviously, is electricity. The biggest two at the moment are electricity and rail, but those are obviously where a lot of focus is being placed at the moment. That's on the infrastructure side. Obviously, on the regulatory side, there's quite a comprehensive review under the MIGDEP process being led by the DMR on the regulatory framework, and that's also to reduce processing times of permits, address some of the challenges that have taken place, and obviously further enhance the competitiveness of the legislative framework. We've also dealt a lot on skills development, and skills development is a very big ticket item. It's interesting to see that a significant portion of the mining engineers that are graduated, funded by the industry, by the mining industry, end up working for the financial services industry that don't contribute anything to it, to the development of those skills, as an example. So, there's a lot of work going on in helping on the human capital side. And there are quite a lot of discussions in some of the other task teams dealing with how we promote innovation and technology development in the mining sector, which obviously is key to competitiveness, how we promote exploration and sustainable development. Exploration in South Africa as a share of global exploration spend has actually halved over the course of the last 5 years. And, we need to improve that on a relative basis and on an absolute basis. So again, very focused teams. And what's different this time is that it's not just about problem identification. There is a very strong focus by the leadership team, led by the minister and the DG, on making sure that we actually get the rubber to hit the tarmac.
Roger, which subsectors within the mining industry lends itself especially, towards further job creation? Can you also tell us, practical, apart from just opening up a mine, what practical issues are envisaged to contribute to job creation?
Andre, I think the first thing is that when you look at the growth prospects going forward, I mean, if we just take a sector like the coal mining industry, we're looking at requiring for our electricity supply purposes and for export purposes another 100 million tons worth of coal production in the next 10 years. 100 million tons. That's to generate the mines and the infrastructure and all the associated infrastructure around those mines is going to require at least another 500 mining engineers just to cater for the coal mining industry, as an example. So what we did at a fairly granular level is that we looked at each of the different commodity sets and we said, well, in the gold mining sector, obviously it's a mature component of the sector. If we could slow down the rate of decline in that sector, what would the likely job implications be? We looked at platinum, coal, iron ore, manganese, et cetera, and looked at what the likely job increases could be in those if those sectors were able to grow their production base. And there's a very strong correlation between the amount of production and the number of people that are employed to produce that. We factored in a 20% improvement in certain technologies, but even with that built into place and even with further job declines in the gold sector, the perspective was that roughly 100,000 jobs would be created over and above the existing 500,000 that the industry has. So that's at that level, but just recognize that the multiplier of employment in mining is roughly 1-to-1. So for every one mining job, so we've got 500,000 mining jobs at the moment. For every one mining job, we estimate that another one job is created in associated industries that either service the mining sector, that use mining sector products, or which are as the result of the expenditures of mining, what we call the spending multipliers. So roughly 1 million people in South Africa's economy are employed directly or indirectly because of the mining sector. So I think it's that employment multiplier which is also very attractive. So it's not just another 100,000 jobs that can be created. It's indirectly in mining, it's going to be the 100,000 other jobs that are going to be created to support the mining industry going forward. So those are some of the angles. Obviously, when you get into the further downstream value addition beneficiation chain, and in in particular the focus on the stage four beneficiation, which is what we define as manufacturing beneficiation. You know, obviously there are interesting prospects there. There's already a lot of beneficiation taking place where the commercial opportunities exist, but you know, clearly it's an area of focus by government. And when I say industry, you know, mining is not the industry that's going to drive stage four beneficiation because it's manufacturing competence. It's not to say that we're not going to play a facilitative role, but you know, in those downstream areas, you're starting to look very much at the industrial policy area and what one can do with industrial policy to make sure that further development in those areas take place from an employment creation and from a value addition perspective.
The document envisaged that the developmental state mining company will coexist with what it sees as a already strong private mining sector. Just in your opinion, what role has the state mining company to play within the bigger industry?
You know, listen, I think the Chamber of Mines in particular has not come out against the concept of the state participating in mining from a company perspective, provided it competes with the rest of the private mining sector on the basis of a level playing field. In other words, it gets no special favors. It's got to compete and comply with the legislation and compete exactly like the private companies do. We already actually have a couple of mining companies that are state-owned. AlexCor is one, and you know, so on. So, you know, I think the importance for us is really the focus on how we enable the private mining sector, because I think the document recognizes that the private sector is the engine of growth. The private sector is the engine of job creation in South Africa. And, you know, I think the focus has to be on how one enables the private sector, you know, to create, to invest, grow the industry, grow the economy. And that's where you're going to get the jobs. That's where you're going to get the benefits for the country as a whole.
Roger, just to wrap up, as the Chamber of Mines, are you happy with the document released yesterday? And are you in, you know, generally positive and believe that what is set out is achievable?
Yes, I think. Listen, I think the overarching new growth path document highlights a number of interesting discussion areas that are going to take place, you know, over the course of the next couple of years. For mining, you know, I must be honest, I think the mining sector is already slightly ahead of the curve through the MIGDEP process. We've been involved in some very detailed discussions already, you know, over the course of actually the last 2 years. MIGDEP was actually set up at the end of 2008. And the stakeholders have been working in a collaborative fashion to try and help resolve issues. And I think a lot of very positive progress has been made. And I define the signing of the declaration by the tripartite stakeholders in the MIGDEP process at the end of June 2010 as a watershed moment for the mining industry. So yes, I think broadly speaking, we are having a conversation as tripartite stakeholders, including with the other economic ministries, etc., on how we can get mining to up its growth performance and obviously enhance its contribution to the economy as a whole. And I think that's a very exciting space to be in. But the critical thing is obviously to get the rubber to hit the tarmac and to actually implement the solutions to the factors that are constraining the industry. And the private sector's got a very big role to play in that, but government has a very big role to play in enabling the private sector to play that role.
That was the Chamber of Mines economist, Roger Baxter. Thank you for joining us on Metal Edge this week. We'll speak again next week.